Weather's Frightful, written by Valiant Barnes, read by Raven. Summary. Via persuasion and charisma, and perhaps some not quite legal tinkering with the hospital's rostering system, Jim's managed to eke out 4 whole days of vacation time with Bones. New York weather, callously disregarding Jim's touristy plans, brings them another opportunity for fun. Jim, Bones warns, in that voice that says he's being sensible for the sake of someone having any sense. Not because he thinks that Jim could actually stop. Over the past years of their thing, their friendship, their "we sleep together every night even when we don't fuck" thing, they're not dating, the friends with benefits deal, where the benefits are a whole bunch of excellent sex and also an emotional support system that's more stable than anything Jim's had for, maybe more stable than anything Jim's ever had, ever. Anyway, over the course of their knowing each other, Jim's learnt to decipher the varied tones Bones employs. He can tell properly annoyed from merely put upon, reluctance which can be coaxed and cajoled from reluctance that can't be shifted. "That's a bad idea. Dear God, stop what you're doing" from "that's a terrible idea. Keep going." This is most definitely the latter. "Bones," Jim replies, "I'll challenge, no caution," and relishes in the way Bones looks at him. No matter what the man says about Jim's shenanigans and boisterous nonsense, he's never left Jim in a lurch. Always, if not at Jim's shoulder, then close at hand. Personally, Jim thinks it's very telling that Bones knows exactly what Jim means to do, when all Jim's done is look. Clearly, Bones has been thinking about it as well. Or maybe even the lowlights of this speakeasy-style bar can't hide the obvious hunger on Jim's face. There's not much time that Bones gets off, even around the end-of-the-year holiday season. As a cadet who's already a qualified doctor, a highly qualified and highly respected, Bones had been press-ganged into working at the Academy's clinic come hospital before Jim had even finished meddling with their room assignments. Sometimes it feels like each hour that Bones spends outside the hospital is a personal victory. Doesn't help that the man tends to be a workaholic, though Jim's been attempting to wean the man from the habit for the last 2 and a bit years. It's been working decently well, and as a bonus, Bones doesn't tend to call Jim out on his hypocrisy after his soul's been sucked out of his dick. So this vacation, 4.5 days in miserable, snowy New York, is something of a miracle. Even with the snow and the wind and the sudden plunge in temperature, it's been fun. For Jim, at least. Bones has spent every spare second complaining, which is one of Bones' favorite activities, so they've both been enjoying New York, after their own fashion. Bones had made a compelling argument for simply spending their entire holiday in their rented room, but Jim had wanted to see things and do stuff. 2 days in, and even Jim's intentional cheer and enthusiasm has been eroded by all the damn snow. Which is how they found themselves here, in this tiny hole-in-the-wall bar instead of the place Jim wanted to go. Bones had bitched that it had been too touristy. Jim had insisted playing tourist was half the fun, and then the snow had started to come down hard enough that they'd ducked into the nearest open door. If the place had a sign, Jim hadn't seen it. Hadn't seen anything but the neon "open" sign in the small window. Inside, now that Jim's starting to warm up a bit, the temperature is actually set a little high. Hot enough that, before too long, Jim will be down to his shirt and dreading the moment they step back outside. Something jazzy plays through the speakers, quiet enough that it's easy to talk over without losing the ambience. Lighting's just right, too atmospheric, but not so dark you need to squint. not too dark that Jim can't see the booth at the back of the bar and the lone figure occupying it. Given the worsening weather, it's no surprise that the bar isn't especially crowded. Apart from Jim and Bones, and the man Jim's been eyeing up, there's barely another half dozen people dotted around the room. Whatever the energy of the place is usually like, tonight's been sedate. Jim's probably the highest energy person in here, and even he's feeling fairly bedraggled and distinctly damp around the edges. Looks it, too, which means it's not exactly ideal conditions for a seduction, but Jim's managed better while looking worse. Plus, he has Bones. All that genuine southern charm can truly work miracles when the doctor bothers to showcase it. Usually, Bones lets Jim do all the work, his main contribution being keeping all his caustic comments trapped behind his teeth. Seducing an assortment of people to spend the night with them isn't something that was Bones' idea, though such a thing isn't a shock. Jim had brought it up in a moment that can be best defined as overwhelming panic, anxiety spiking from an anniversary he does his best never to remember, losing sleep despite Bones' comforting presence beside him each night, exam stress beginning to loom, and one stupid conversation that Jim hadn't even really been a part of between some of his classmates. It had coalesced into one shining, overwhelming thought. Bones needed to expand his horizons. He'd married young, and once he got himself together enough, he'd signed into the fleet, and then Jim had latched onto him like the worst sort of burr, clinging, overly needy, always staking a claim when he felt like anyone else was starting to look at Bones in any sort of way. How many times had he casually sidled up to Bones and thrown an arm over his shoulders, his waist, leant against the man's chest, watching from the corner of his eye as the third party visibly lost interest? All this, and they weren't even anything. Friends, best friends even, but not dating, not exclusive. Bones just wraps his arms around Jim at night, holds him close, like he's precious. That's what it feels like to Jim, at least. He knows it's just his brain, desperate for any sort of affection, knows Bones just likes to cuddle, thought he'd known, at least. In hindsight, Bones hadn't wanted to go out and find people to fuck any more than Jim had. Every memory Jim has of that conversation feels like a fever dream. In the end, Jim had gotten his way. In the end, he realized weeks later, Jim had convinced Bones that Jim was bored of just Bones, that Jim wanted excitement and new faces and bodies and the fun of exploration rather than the other way around. Those first weeks of their new arrangement, where Jim dragged a reluctant Bones to bars and did his best to find them a partner for the night, and Bones spent the rest of his time pulling an inhuman amount of doubles, were hell. The sex had been fun, at least. Everything else had sucked. And despite Bones being a cuddler, it was only ever Jim he wrapped himself around once everything was said and done. No matter how well he hit it off with their night's partner, it was only ever Jim he held. They'd never had another conversation about it. Jim had simply stopped attempting to pick up every time they went somewhere. And in turn, Bones had stopped volunteering for any shift he could get his hands on. Without the pressure of Jim, frantic to ensure that he hasn't trapped Bones into a like of accidental monogamy, equilibrium returned. That said, they'd never, saying they never officially closed the relationship implies that there is a relationship, and, as previously discussed, all Jim and Bones are friends. Just friends, no matter how close or codependent. Seeing as they're both theoretically happy to bring in an extra person or two into their bed for a night, sometimes it still happens. much more naturally than any of their initial experiments with it. A nice conversation, a certain vibe, a shared look with Bones, and they'd extend an offer. It's not always accepted, but when it is, it's so much better than it used to be. Jim, for one, doesn't feel the sharp edges of his own regret and self-hatred when Bones presses his lips to someone else's skin. Entering the bar, Jim's assessing eyes had chanced to meet the dark eyes of the man in the corner. For a brief moment, Jim had felt it, a spark shivering down his spine. Even Bones pushing Jim further into the bar so that he could close the door behind them hadn't broken the spell. For long, long moments, it had held. Then Bones tugged Jim's scarf down to press a kiss to his cold cheek, and the other man had looked away. Now, snow brushed off, drinks in hand, Jim's looking to rekindle that spark. Observant as Bones is, he'd noticed the direction of Jim's thoughts and the object of his fascination. Good with people as Jim occasionally is, he'd noticed that Bones certainly isn't opposed. The man in the booth is striking, even from a distance. Without need for further comment, they head towards the man's table. A Vulcan, Jim realizes, noting the ears, eyebrows, and distinctly soft-looking robe the man's wearing. Would you mind some company? Jim's voice draws the man's eyes up from his book. Another frisson of intensity runs its way along Jim's spine, though this time Bones is able to feel it too. His hand, broad and warm, sits right in the small of Jim's back. For how long? Voice perfectly even but deep and lovely. Accented too, though much lighter than Bones's drawl. Much harder to pin down, too. An entirely different oral experience than what Jim's used to, and he's ready for an encore, if he can at all manage it. Jim would like to hear it again and again, rumbling against his chest, his thighs, moaned into the skin of Bones's neck. Depends on you, darling. Either Bones feels it too, or he can tell just how interested Jim is, because the charm has been unmistakably turned on. Much like Jim, as it turns out, he's got something of a Pavlovian response to that voice now. The Vulcan blinks, somewhat like a startled cat. Man built like him, Vulcan like him, is certainly not used to being called darling at all, let alone so sweetly. Jim has the distinct pleasure of watching as the Vulcan takes Bones in for the first time. And it is a distinct pleasure. For all of them. Tall, broad, and sturdy all the way down. Bones is a man that makes you want. I am otherwise unengaged for the next 13 hours. Well now, Bones more or less purrs, and Jim watches the way it hits. Unless something truly egregious happens while they share this drink, Jim knows exactly where their night is headed. Bones, perhaps attempting to calm Jim's excitement, slips his hand under Jim's shirt. Direct skin-to-skin contact doesn't help, actually. But the soothing sweep of Bones's thumb against his spine does help steady him. I'm Jim. He's Bones. Leonard, Bones says, like the stick in the mud he pretends to be. I am Spock. Then he gestures to the booth, and Jim, never one to let an opportunity pass him by, seats himself right next to Spock. Right next to, shoulder to shoulder, thighs flush together. It's our pleasure entirely, darling, Bones answers for the both of them, using the manners Jim never bothers to. He slides onto the bench seat opposite them, looking less like a third wheel and more like someone sizing up potential prey. When Jim shivers, Spock's gentlemanly enough to curl an arm around Jim's waist and pull him closer. Bones, across the table, doesn't bother to hide his sharp smile behind his drink. 12.5 hours later, most of that spent working themselves into a pleasurable exhaustion, Spock pulls back the curtains of his small apartment and makes a distinctly unimpressed sound. Bones asks, zipping his pants up in a way that Jim reads as enticing, though they really have no time for another round. Vulcan endurance really is something. Too bad he lives so far away, or Jim'd be thinking about asking Bones if he wouldn't mind a repeat performance. Not that he really needs to ask. Bones has picked up a sudden and immediate interest in xenobiology. I do not believe either of you shall be leaving. No complaints here, Jim jokes, still shrugging on his jacket as he walks up behind Spock. The follow-up question of why doesn't even need to be asked. The blizzard, still raging outside, answers him well enough. Ain't that a pickle? Bones' hand is a comforting weight across the nape of Jim's neck. After these last hours, Jim doesn't even mind when his lover does the same to Spock. Hope you don't mind us staying a bit longer. Even if I did, I could not send you into the blizzard in good conscience. So, Jim starts, suddenly and abruptly unsure of their welcome. Get back in bed, Jim, Bones instructs, as though he's got any power here at all. You too, Spock. Huh. Maybe Bones does have some power here. Jim goes, and so does Spock, who looks remarkably content to have been told. Interesting. Very interesting. The end. Thank you for listening.